Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions. If you would like to call in, the number to call is 424-220-1801. I would love to hear from you, answer your questions, or hear your perspective. since the last show, I have received two letters from people who would like questions answered. So that's what I'm going to focus on for today. The first letter I received was very long, and I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but I'll just sort of paraphrase. This is a man, a 37-year-old man with three kids. He grew up in a very emotionally abusive home, and then his mother left, and he resented his mother, moved in with his father, but the father was very crazy and did some amazingly crazy things to him. And then he met this woman, and she told him that she couldn't have kids because she had been she had used tanning beds when she was younger, and so they had sex. Anyway, they had kids. She eventually told him the baby wasn't mine. Then he found out it was. So it's back and forth and back and forth. So they've been off and on for the next 17 years. And there's been a whirlwind of emotions and a lot of back and forth to court and all kinds of things going on. It's just been very tumultuous. He started drinking at 15. And he started using drugs at 18. But he ended up going to rehab. And he has, let's see, he's been out of, he had his last drink New Year's Eve 2015 and his last drug September 2018. So bravo, thank you. That's wonderful, awesome. Applaud you. And he's spoken to his dad once in 5 years and hasn't spoken to his mother since he cleaned up his life in September. He's in the middle of building a new home, so he's trying to pull his life together. So, he says, after reading what a narcissist is, I realized I made huge strides unknowingly with my parents, but I fell in love with one meaning a narcissist, and I don't know how to make it out of it. The last fight I had with my wife, she threatened to pull the rug out from under me again, and I'm tired of being dragged around by my nose. I feel like a slave that cannot fall out of line. I feel trapped. The house is roughly 2 months into it, so they're building a house, and there's two months left. I need to prepare for the worst. My wife's mom has let my family and me stay there, but due to a fight that I had with her, my wife and I have been sleeping in the truck for the past 4 days, so they won't waste any money because they want it all to go towards the house. I'm going to give my children something they've never had, their own room. I refuse to take any more steps back, and I'm getting to a point in my life where I cannot let my children down anymore. I apologize for sending so much of the mess I call my life to you, but I just don't know what else to do. There are so many things I have left out, and I apologize for that. The biggest question I have is this. Can a person have a relationship with a narcissist and be happy? Is it uncommon for a person to be raised by narcissists and grow up to marry a narcissist? Are there ways to cope with a narcissist and for them to still be a big part of your life? More than my parents, I have a much harder time letting, well, he says, more than my parents, I have a much harder time letting my parents go, but I think it's my wife go. Thank you for any advice you can give, Randy. I absolutely loved your podcast on iTunes and look forward to hearing more. Okay, first he asked a question, but there's like four of them, so I'll address each one of them. The first question, can a person have a relationship with a narcissist and be happy? I'd have to say no to that, because in order to live with a narcissist or have a relationship with a narcissist, you have to alter the way that you behave around them, and which means you are not being authentically you. Because to be authentically you, you can't be around these people. They will abuse you. You can't just have conversations with them. You can't just sit and chat with them. That's impossible, because all they really want to do is abuse you. So if you're in their vicinity, that's what they're going to do. And the only way to be around them is to develop very strong boundaries and treat them in a very strange way, which means no eye contact, monotone voice, no reaction, no emotion. And so I don't know about you, but for me, that would make me very unhappy. And I could do it for a little while, but I don't think I could do it long term. The second question, is it uncommon for a person to be raised by narcissists and grow up to marry one? Oh my gosh, no. It is not uncommon. As a matter of fact, it is very common. Many people that work with me have had that situation. What happens is that the process of the narcissist wooing you in the beginning, they can only do that if you have certain vulnerabilities. The vulnerabilities don't have to be that you've been raised in a dysfunctional family. They can be that you're coming out of another bad relationship, or you've been hurt in some way, or you're in depression of some sort, or whatever it is that they feel they can capitalize on. They're going to use that against you. But when you meet this person, they tend to interview you. I know I've said this many times, but when you reveal everything that you've been through, you have now given that person ammunition for every single thing that hurts you. They will target specifically what you tell them. Narcissists are attracted to people who have had dysfunctional childhoods, because they can use it to destroy that person, to turn them into a slave or a puppet. So it is very common for someone who has been raised by a narcissist to marry or fall in love with a narcissist. The pattern is very simple, and they're very vulnerable to it. People who grow up in these homes do not have boundaries. And so they also are pleasers for the most part. They look for the best in people. They want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And so they put up with this much longer than they should, and then they're trapped. Are there ways to cope with a narcissist and for them to still be a big part of your life? Yes, there are. As I said in the beginning, in order to cope with a narcissist and still have them be a big part of your life, the first thing that has to happen in order for this to happen is that the person has got to have gone through a complete healing from the narcissistic abuse. And when I say that, I mean with the help of a professional who can help them get the programming out of their head and put the right things in their minds, in their thoughts, teach them how to think properly, teach them tools for living and coping. And that doesn't happen overnight. And that's not something that anyone can do for themselves, because when you are programmed and brainwashed and you're thinking you think clearly, how can you fix this? You don't know what you don't know. And anyone who has been with a narcissist for years, a year, multiple years, many years, is brainwashed, programmed. They cannot think their way out of this. So I always tell people that it really takes a good 6 months of avoiding any triggers, sort of living in a bubble, getting the help that you need, working through all this, getting the tools, and getting a clear mindset. Once you have that, then you begin to make your choices. And if you still want to have somebody like that in your life, then you have the tools to know how to deal with it. So when you are triggered or when something doesn't feel right, you know what to do, and you know how to protect yourself, which is ultimately what you want to do. You have to learn every aspect of self-love to the point where you won't let anything hurt you. And it's easier to make decisions when you're at that level. So in order to do this, if this is the goal, if you want to have a narcissist be a big part of your life, you have got to isolate yourself for a period of time and work with me or someone else who knows how to get you out of this mindset. And then you'll make your choices. Let's see. Happy is an uncommon. Okay, so that's pretty much the answers to those questions. If you have any more, I recommend that you email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com, and we'll schedule an appointment for you to meet with me, because this is very, very deep set. It's been going on for your entire life. It is who you are, and we need to change that. We need to give you the opportunity to be the person you've had every right to be, but everyone has stolen from you. So I want you to get stronger, and I want you to be able to handle this on your own. But that is going to take some effort on your part. And when I say effort, I never have anyone do hard work, because I know, I've been there. I don't want to give you any more work. You've had enough work your entire life. What I want to do is guide you and give you tools and help you see it the right way. And that takes time. because of the programming. It doesn't take as much time as you would think if you devote yourself to the process and do it every week for a certain period of time. You will get through this, and then you will be strong and have a clear mind to be able to move forward in your life in whatever way you choose. So that is my recommendation. Okay, so now I have another letter here. And I'm going to read the first line because I really like this. I love your podcast. I've been listening to your show for over 4 years, and it has changed my life. I appreciate all you do. I love hearing that, and I would like to hear it from anyone who tells me that because it reinforces what I'm doing for you. So if I'm helping you, let me know. Let me know that I'm helping you because it will keep me going. Not that I plan on stopping, but it helps me, helps to motivate me to do more. So let me read this question. My younger brother and I grew up with a very narcissistic mother who made everything about herself. She compared us growing up, punished one, and praised the other. And unfortunately, my brother and I don't have a close relationship as adults. About 3 years ago, I was able to stop contact with our narcissistic mother, so I don't deal with her on an everyday basis. My brother is 30 years old, and 2 years ago he married a kind, nice girl, and they have a beautiful little baby. Unfortunately, our mother controls his life financially and emotionally. She is abusive to my sister-in-law, expects her to answer the phone any time of the day, belittles her, turns her words around, and mentally turns my brother against his wife. Our mother acts hot and cold by giving them money first and then taking it back if they disobey her. Sadly, my brother doesn't stand up for his family in a healthy way. In fact, when my sister-in-law stands up for herself, he takes our mother's side and tells his wife to just deal and keep quiet. My brother denies that there is abuse and rejects everything I tell him about mother's narcissistic personality disorder. He tells me I am making up diseases for our mother and avoiding a problem out of my own selfishness. I am the only person who truly validates my sister-in-law's feelings. Not long ago, she admitted to me in confidence she wants to divorce my brother because she cannot take our mother's abuse and his enabling behavior any longer. All I could say to her was that I understand. My question is, what is the best way to act for me to act in this situation? Is it wrong to support my sister-in-law even though she may be divorcing my brother? Should I stay away? I don't feel comfortable telling her to stay either because it is just not fair that she suffers. NPD is a terrible thing in a family. This is a sad situation. My brother might have to hit the rock bottom and see his family fall apart to realize the destructive effects of NPD. Thank you for this letter. What you are explaining is very classic behavior on a narcissistic mother with a child that she has completely enmeshed with, which she has with your brother. And your brother has not formed a separate self. Every thought he has, every feeling he has, he bounces off in his mind. How would mom think about this? How would mom feel about this? He doesn't have a separate self, and he doesn't have self-validation. So he doesn't know that he's not an individual. So basically, your sister-in-law is married to your mother-in-law. And this is very, very difficult. Your brother is 30 years old. Now, sometimes people wake up to this, sometimes in their 30s. It's more often in the mid-40s to mid-50s, generally, that people wake up to the pain this has caused them. Obviously, your sister-in-law cannot live in this for another 10 or 15 more years. It's going to make her crazy, and it's going to ruin the child or children. So there's nothing that you can say to your brother to convince him that your mother has this disorder. Unfortunately, we cannot tell anybody that anybody has this disorder because no one believes us. So all we can do is give information, give a link, offer a website, tell them to check it out. All you can do, hand them my book. All you can do is give them the opportunity to learn. And they will either accept or reject that opportunity. And there's nothing that you can do about that. Absolutely nothing. Even in my own family, as much as I know, I cannot educate anyone. They don't want to hear it from me. They make fun of the fact that I call myself an expert in this. So, I get it. I do. It's very, very difficult. And we want to advise the people that we care about, especially our family members, our siblings, what we went through. Oh, okay, now I really figured it out. Okay, I'm going to tell Johnny or Mary. Johnny or Mary is going to look at you like you're crazy because they're not in the same place you are. And they don't want to separate from the parent they are so enmeshed with because they don't see any other way to be. They also, in their subconscious minds, in the back of their minds, know that what they're going through is not healthy. But they're afraid to stop it. They're afraid to hurt the parent. They're afraid, they're very feeling very guilty for pulling away from the parent. They're not going to do that at this time. So your brother is pretty much stuck in this mindset. And I think it is amazing that you validate your sister-in-law's feelings, and I would continue to do that. It's not that you're taking sides. It's that you're giving her support, and you should give her support, whether or not she is with your brother or not, because she has your nieces, nephews, whatever, and she needs someone to back her up so that she can begin a new life in a healthy way if she divorces your brother. I would not offer her advice, not tell her whether or not she should leave. I would educate her through the ways that I've explained to you. So I would get her a copy of my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind. Get her educated so she can make a clear decision on her own. This book, she can actually download. There's an electronic version of it on Amazon. So she doesn't have to have the book around the house. But it's very important that she fully educates herself in this disorder so that when she's ready to make a decision, she knows how to do this. Because divorcing a narcissist when you have children is complicated. And I talk about that in the book, and I explain how to do it, because no one should ever walk out of a marriage with a narcissistic spouse when you have a child without preparation. If you do, your life is going to be a living hell. You may lose your children. You may not even lose them to the court, but you will lose them to the brainwashing of the other parent. And I see this all the time. I see the worst possible cases of this situation. So I think it's important to get that information before she leaves. And I don't know of any, I know I offer it in my book. So along with all the other information she needs to understand what her husband is experiencing, why he's doing the things that he's doing, why it's a dead-end situation, why she needs to save her children, all the things that will go into her making this decision, they're all there. So I know I promote my book a lot, but I do it because I know this is the book, the reference book, everyone going through this abuse needs to have. It has everything in it. So I do recommend that. You can, like I said, in regard to the previous letter, you can give her links to articles. Offer her the opportunity to learn it herself. And then be behind her and support her. You know, in the back of the book, there's a whole chapter. Let's see what I call it. I don't have it in front of me. There's a whole chapter on how to support someone going through this abuse. Because it's not the way you would think. And you need to understand how to do this. And I don't know if there's any other book out there that tells the supporter how to do this. So that's the last chapter. It is devoted to the supporter, not to the abused. So you can get some advice there. And be there for her. Absolutely be there for her. Your brother is going to turn against you. It doesn't matter. He is enmeshed with your mother. Anything that you say or do that's not in concert with what she wants is going to make you a bad boy. Evil, vindictive, all the kind of things that family members will call us when we decide to rise above this. Now, that said, I do want to point out that in my experience with the hundreds of people I've worked with and the thousands of people I've talked to, in my experience, only one child in a narcissistic family with a narcissistic parent rises out of it and gets well. Only one child. Because what happens is, in these families, everybody is in their own corner trying to survive. The spouse, the children, everybody is in their own corner. It is not a cohesive family. It's not, we're told that we should be respectful to the family unit. We should value and appreciate the family unit. There is no family unit in a narcissistic family because there is no cohesiveness. Everyone is in their own corner trying to survive. So what happens is when one child decides, adult child, whatever, decides that he or she wants to rise up out of this, leave it behind, and live a healthy life, the other children, the other siblings, rally around that narcissist because they're getting the share that the other person gave up. It's so unfortunate that this happens, but it does every single time. So what your brother is going to do probably in this situation is get more deeply involved with your mother than he was before, since you have pulled away. And that is not a good thing for his wife and his children. So I don't see this getting any better for a while. Yes, at some point, he may wake up but he's not going to do it anytime soon, as far as I can tell, because he's not in enough pain, and he still has not developed a self, so he can't leave your mother. And for his wife, she's in a triangular situation. She's married more to her mother-in-law than she is to her husband. And he will never see her side, and he will never stand up to his mother until he has an awakening, if he has an awakening. And that may not come for a while. It may come after the divorce, but chances are it may drive him closer to your mother, because she is going to bash his ex-wife and turn him completely against her, and she will make him feel like a victim and feel like the ex-wife is the perpetrator. And he's probably going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into this. At some point, years down the road, he may feel so claustrophobic and so sick, emotionally sick, of being involved in this trap that his mother has him in, that he may try to break away. But, you know, as I said, it's unlikely that he will get very far with that. This is so sad. This is so sad. You know, even in families where the other children do break away, they suffer tremendously, because they may do it because it's the only option, but they can't accept what has happened. And that is something that causes physical problems, emotional problems. It leads people to alcohol. It leads people to drugs. It leads people to suicide. So they may develop no contact, but in their mind they will not accept it, what happened. They will feel like they had some responsibility in it. They will suffer from feeling unloved and trying to comprehend the fact that they never were loved. And they will suffer. I've seen it in my own family. I see it in other families. It's tragic. Everything about this, the abuse from this disorder, is tragic. I don't see the narcissist as being tragic, a tragic figure at all. I really don't. Maybe that's cold and callous of me, but I don't. Yes, they have a mental illness, but their life is about hurting people. That is it. Any way they can. And it's hard to see that these people are doing what they're doing. They are brilliant. They're brilliant and seamless in their ability to brainwash people, to con people, manipulate people. They're brilliant in their ability to switch from one persona to the other without any seam whatsoever, seamlessly. They're perfect in their ability to lie. We believe their lies, even when we question them. So this is really, really sick and tragic. I have no sympathy for the narcissist. Many people tell me initially that they do. They feel bad that this person has developed this mental illness in which they are trapped for the rest of their life. That's really what it is. Narcissists are trapped in their personality disorder for the rest of their life. you know, I have to laugh sometimes. There are people out there who are narcissistic personality disorder therapists. They only see people who have this personality disorder. I don't know. I don't know if they get anywhere with these people. Maybe it's a lifetime income for them that these people have to keep coming back, because you can't really get anywhere with these people. The reason you can't is because the false self tells them that they're perfect. And they can't see anything else. That's it. They believe what the false self tells them. Nobody cuts through that. It's a 10-inch suit of armor, of steel. Nobody cuts through it. So I can't believe that anybody would work with these people and think that they're getting anywhere. People don't like to hear that this is, you know, hopeless as far as these parents or siblings or spouses or friends or whatever it is, that what they have is a life sentence. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to believe it. Because to believe that, they'd have to be able to make sense out of it. And you can't make sense out of it. It just is what it is. You learn about this personality disorder. You educate yourself on what these who these people are, what they do, how it affects every relationship, how it's affected you, what you need to do to get out of this, the tools you need to have to get out of it. And when you educate yourself and you know the reality of this disorder, which is why I wrote Close Encounters, not only do I want you as my listeners to have this full scope of knowledge so that you can go out there and understand what's out there. I say that pretty much every five people you meet will either have experienced it on their own, is a narcissist, or know someone who has experienced it. Every five people, one out of every five people will have one of those things. They will have experienced it one of those ways. So you need to walk in this world with knowledge, self-esteem, and self-love to the point where you will not let anyone, even remotely, hurt you emotionally, physically, psychologically. And that takes work. I talk about self-love all the time. You know, when we think of self-love, we think about it as one category. You either love yourself or you don't love yourself. Well, we all love ourselves to a degree. If we didn't love ourselves to some degree, we would have committed suicide. So we have some sort of love for ourselves. But there are seven components that I talk about. I've talked about it on other shows, so I'm not going to go into it. But there's seven components to self-love. And until you have all seven, you do not truly have self-love. And I say that in a way, when I say that, I mean the self-love that you need to be up against this kind of abuse. To be up against people who see any vulnerability you have, they slip in any of the cracks in your self-esteem and self-love. They find the cracks and go in. And that's how they abuse you. So you want to seal up all those cracks so this doesn't happen to you again. And I know you don't want this to happen to you again. So I am here for you, as I tell you every time. I know how to help you. And you don't have to suffer. But I do recommend that you read Close Encounters of the Worst Kind first and get a sense of what you're truly experiencing. When people come to me, they are in such a cloud, such a fog. They're feeling all kinds of feelings that they don't know why. They're confused. They're depressed. They're angry. They're having panic attacks. They're unmotivated. People who have always been motivated are now unmotivated. They can't get out of bed. They can't run their business. They can't take care of their children. And so forth and so on. And they don't know why, and they think each one of those things is related to something different. It's not. It is the syndrome. The narcissistic personality disorder abuse syndrome. And part of that syndrome is complex PTSD. So this is deep, very deep-seated. So that's what I want to tell you today. I'm really glad that I got to answer the two questions that I did. And hopefully those questions helped you with your issues. My next show is September 13th, Friday the 13th in September. But it's going to be a good one because I don't believe in that bad luck stuff. I believe we make it. We make our own luck. So it's going to be a lucky show. So September 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can call in and ask me your questions. You can write in to loveyourlife@randyfine.com. Write in your questions ahead of time and tell me you would like them answered on the next show, and I will do that. And when you call next time, you can actually call in 15 minutes early. The queue will let you in 15 minutes early so that you know you're going to get your call answered. Sometimes it may fill up. If you call a little bit early, you get in. The number to call is 424-220-1800. I hope to hear from you next time. Have a wonderful, wonderful month. And I'll talk to you in September. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.